Bibles this evening to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we're going to read the first 12 verses here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity and simplicity, Lord. As you teach us all things, you brought it down to a level of understanding that any person can grasp. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that as we look to your word this evening, we might realize how it does affect every one of us. There is none that can say, I'm clean, except by your righteous blood. I pray, Lord, that you would move among us and teach us your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this evening I'd like to look at the topic of gossip. As we've looked at several of these sins, they fit under the category of the tongue. We've looked at lying. We've looked at false witness. There's, probably half of them you could fit under the category of the tongue. And that's one of the reasons they open with this passage, is it brings it right into perspective of what the tongue does. You know, James was very clear in speaking through the inspiration of the Spirit. Every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue, who can tame it? Unruly evil, sets on fire the course of nature, set on fire of hell. We don't always stop and think of how powerful our words really are. It is what it says. It sets on fire the course of nature. You can do a lot of damage real fast with a few uncalculated or calculated words. This last summer we looked at, I'll look at the last two summers. So two summers ago, you remember, we had a lot of wildfires, and they were a lot of accidents, or a lot of people being foolish, a lot of just things happening. A car accident on the side of the highway and the forest lights on fire. Some kids playing with fireworks when they shouldn't have been, and forest lights on fire. Somebody roofing and threw away their cigarette, and the forest lit on fire. So stuff like that happens. It's something that they didn't intend to burn down the world, but they did. Then last year, there was a number of accidental ones, sure, but there was also a lot of arson fires, wasn't there? They caught the guy on the highway outside of Salem with cans of gas, lighting lightened the median on fire. Now, why he chose the median instead of the outside, I don't know. He was probably high, but that's just my opinion. then other fires in, you know, right downtown Portland, people burning shops down, whatever. Lighting fires on purpose. And a lot of them, oh, well, we just did this little thing to make a statement. And next thing you know, several buildings burn down or somebody dies in the fire. Oh, they just wanted to make a little statement. It wasn't intended to get that big. And how often are words just like that? Oh, well, I just was trying to make a point. And next thing you know, you've done all kinds of damage that is possibly irreparable. That is the best way to understand gossip. And this description of the tongue covers all of the areas of speech that we've been talking about. But the best way to understand why God hates gossip is right here. It's 9 times out of 10 words that we don't understand the consequences. We haven't stopped to think about it. Oh, well, I was just expressing my opinion. Or I was just sharing this juicy bit of information that I heard. Or I was just having a conversation with my friend or a close person. It wasn't really gossip. But so often, we gossip without realizing it. Gossip means unconstrained conversation about others, especially that which involves unconfirmed information. That's the definition of gossip. It's not just when, you know, we talk about the old phones being gossip lines. You know, I don't know, some of you kids probably haven't heard that, but the old phones. So before my time, when I was your age, there were still a few hanging on the wall, but nobody used them, okay? But the old phones, you picked up the line and you punched in a code where you wanted it to ring, but everybody could listen. They called it a party line. So you have the caller and the receiver, but the whole neighborhood could pick up their phone and hear whoever was on there at the time. And it was the reason they called them gossip lines is because you got to hear everything that was going on. A private conversation, somebody could quietly pick up their phone and say, what's neighbor Joe talking about? What's grandma saying today? You know, you heard everything that was going on. That would be different. Anyway, the reason they call it gossip line is you could pick up whatever bit of information, and if you didn't hear the whole conversation, you could form whatever idea you wanted out of it, which is usually how gossip starts. You hear a little bit, and you share it with somebody else, and it's unconfirmed information, right? You didn't actually check if this was so. This last year, there's an unconfirmed information has been the byword of everybody, hasn't it? Ever since they declared COVID was a pandemic, nobody knows what anybody actually thinks or anybody actually says, and there's no way to confirm any of it, especially when the people that are being repeated don't even keep their stories straight. I had to laugh when, I think it was 2 days ago, made the headlines that Fauci says, well, it's just common sense to wear 2 masks. The same guy who said a couple months ago that the mask doesn't do anything. It blows my mind. But you can't confirm he can't confirm any of the information because nobody's keeping their story straight. But the whole entire news is full of unconfirmed information. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, so-and-so says this, and they're a solid source. Okay, great. But somebody else says the exact opposite of that and claims to be getting it from the same base of information. Great. We're living in an age where media has literally become gossip. It's just whatever spin anybody has on it. And we sit here and we're nodding yes and we're saying mm-hmm and that's, yeah, that's right. And just like all of these things, we like to look at, we point at the big sin and we say, but I'm not a gossip. That's not something I have a problem with. I'm careful with my words. But that's when we need to look at the origin of the word gossip. Now, I'm not going to try to say the old English words. Basically, if you combine them, it comes out gossip. That's why we say gossip. But the origin of the old English words where we get the word gossip from means familiar, idle talk. Words that you don't put a lot of stock in and you only share with somebody who's close to you. It literally means the way you would talk to your grandma or your grandpa. That's literally what it means. If you're just saying words that don't mean a whole lot and you're just sitting down over a cup of tea with grandma, that's really what the word comes from. So, words that you wouldn't necessarily say to just anybody. You're just spouting your opinions. No big deal. No consequences in mind. You wouldn't share it with your neighbor. You wouldn't even share it with your average friend, but your close buddy, your family member. Familiar, idle talk. That's what gossip means. Now we go back in our passage here in verse 2. It says, for in many ways we offend all. And that's a given. You know, we're going to offend somebody along the way in many ways. Some people don't like the way you look. Okay. Some people don't like the way you express yourself. Okay. Some people don't like the way you word things. And me, I'm great at that. I word things horribly. You offend people. People take you the wrong way. And obviously, we got to try not to. We got to try to present ourselves better. We got to try to build people up and all that. We don't want to offend people, but it's a statement of fact. In many ways, we offend all, whether we mean to or not. If any man offend not in word, though, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know how many times people say, well, I don't go to church anymore because there's hypocrites in the church. Or, I don't go to church because I can't find a church that I fit in. Well, the Bible took care of that when it says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The fact is, there's no perfect people. Therefore, there's no perfect church. And if you ever find one, you couldn't join because then it wouldn't be perfect anymore. The old preacher, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he found the perfect church once. He didn't like something. So after he joined, he didn't like something, so they kicked him out. You know, he was just the person. He caused the problem. You know, he was just joking. He wasn't saying it was actual instance. But you know, he found the perfect church and he managed to join it, and he's the one that got booted out. just another spin on the same line. But the fact is, we like to point at the big sins. We like to say, oh, well, so-and-so, man, they're a gossip. And everything they say, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt because that person's a gossip. Or we can point the fingers like we just did and say, oh, the media, it's gone from news to it's all gossip. Doesn't matter if it's left wing, right wing, middle wing, it's all gossip. One guy came in last week to the warehouse and he says, it's just two wings on the same bird, both flying in the same direction. You got that right. You don't. You hear one side of the story, you hear the other side of the story, but it's all going in the wrong direction, and you haven't a clue what direction that is. But we point to all that, and the Bible says, "If any man offend not in word." In other words, you get everything else right, but your tongue's still going to flap sometimes. The perfect Christian, the mature Christian, the careful person still will have a problem with their tongue. Because last I checked, we aren't in our glorified bodies yet. Therefore, we're not perfect. So, well, I'm a careful person. I watch my words. But then we talk to our spouse. Oh, it's not gossip if it's with my spouse. Really? Are we sure about that? Gossip is any unconstrained conversation which, it's behind closed doors with my spouse. The twain shall be one. So basically, what they think is what I think. So if we tie, it's okay for that to be unconstrained. Sure. But unconstrained conversation about others, especially involving unconfirmed information. So if it's with your spouse and it's unconfirmed information, it's still, by definition, gossip. You see, none of us can get away from it completely. Right? I'm just laying some groundwork here. We all try to say, well, this gossip is this great big sin, and I know I probably have some problem with it, but I don't really understand it in a small scale, so therefore I won't work on it that hard. Well, now you have to understand it. Just look at the definition. It's any unconstrained conversation about others, especially involving unconfirmed information, and it's from the Old English, familiar, idle talk. God's view of it is in the very next chapter, James chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. Says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Some time ago, we did a little study on colloquial phrases that came from the Bible, as English used to be so based in the Bible. And here's one of those things. Has anybody come up to you and said, "Who do you think you are?" It came from this verse right here. God saying it to mankind. There's one lawgiver, and who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? God says to mankind, when we lift our voice and say, and God says, "Who do you think you are? I'm judging them. I'm the one who wrote the law. I am the law. It is a description of my perfect state." Sometimes, we'll begin and end with this as we look at these verses. God just wants us to put into perspective that we are just another person. We're not a perfect man. We're just another person who needs a Savior. God sees what we don't. You know, gossip, not always the word gossip, but the idea of gossip, the principle of it, is directly spoken of in the Scripture over 50 times. And implied in Scripture, I don't think there's a way to count. And I believe that's because it's so much an underlying part of how we converse. Of, well, it's just my opinion. It's just the thought that I had. It's just a snippet that I picked up and I didn't actually hear the rest of the story. But, oh, that snippet was so good. I had to pass it along to Grandma over tea. But it is spoken of directly 50 times, over 50 times. Now, we need to pause for that. If you don't understand how much impact that is, we build entire doctrines, some of the doctrines of the faith, on things that are directly mentioned less times than that. Okay? Things where it's spelled out very clearly that this is something you do or this is something you do not do. That's the kind of mention. We build some of the doctrine that we stand on our faith, on how we understand God and God's dealings with men, on ones that are spelled out less times than this. And then we go turn to our neighbor and say, well, I can't really, understand how to dig gossip out of my life because I don't know how to understand it on a small scale. Well, God spelled it out for us. That simply means we're not looking and we're not examining ourselves. Now, we're not going to go over all 50 verses tonight. We're just going to go over a few poignant ones and try to get an idea of God's mind on this. Psalm 105. Excuse me, 101 verse 5. This is specifically what God thinks about gossip. Whoso privily, okay, so that's familiar speaking, when that quiet, unconstrained conversation with somebody you're familiar with in private. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Now, is God patient? Kids, look at me. Is an attribute of God patience? Yeah. Is God long-suffering? That means He'll let us go on with our idiocy sometimes until we fall flat on our face, and He'll lift us up and say, my child, I was trying to show you, but you wouldn't listen, so here's the correction. Come back to me. God is long-suffering, right? Is God kind? But when it comes to gossip, to, as it's described here, private slander, saying something bad about somebody else when nobody else can hear, God says, I will not suffer that. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to strike you dead on the spot just because you said something you don't like the way somebody else sings. Or somebody's grammar or whatever. But when we privately say something against someone else, God notices and He does chalk it up on your account. You understand that? God chalks it up on your account. And He will require it of you. Tell you what, these are strong words. Let me read it again. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Man, I am glad that salvation is secure. that when we are saved, we are in the hand of Christ and the hand of the Father, and that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because if that were not so, if that were not a sure word, we got people running around today trying to teach all these different ways you could lose your salvation because they can't read their Bibles. Well, they totally missed this way. God says, you privately slander someone and I'll cut you off. Oh, how great is the grace of God, because every single one of us have privately slandered someone. Now, do we say, oh, well, we're under grace, just like you said, God's long-suffering, just like you said, God's kind, God's understanding, God knows the end of my life, and He knows that I'm sealed, so I'll get away with it. It's not that big a deal. No. It says that when we understand our sin, we're to confess our sins. And then He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, to get rid of it. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. God thinks very, very poorly of our speech when we gossip. Psalm 34 and verse 13 tells us that we have to make a concentrated, pointed effort in this area. Let's read verse 12 as well. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Okay? Let's pause there for 1 second. Who in this room loves to live good? Okay? I'm not going to say just loves life, because I know some of you will say, that's not, I don't know. Loves to live good. You know, things are going well. You love those days. Okay? That's what it means here. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Is there anybody in this room, I'm going to ask it this way, that does not want that? Does not wish that more of your days were good? That your good days were plentiful, your bad days were few or non-existent? You desire life, good life. You love many good days. You want to see good, right? Everybody. That's what we desire. If you don't desire that, then there's something seriously wrong with you. Like, maybe dead. So what's the answer? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Oh, but they fell apart because of so and so. Keep thy tongue from evil. You just blamed it on somebody else. It doesn't matter how much they made your day fall apart. The fact that you blamed it on them, your tongues just spouted evil. Your lips just spoke guile, even if it was only to deceive yourself. Remember when we looked at lying, how a liar deceives themselves just as much as anybody else. You want to fix your life? The Bible is very pointed about keeping our own mouth, our own tongue, our own lips in order. And our life will be better in so many ways. Not because it's some power of positive thinking or good karma or any of that kind of stuff. It's because God said it. God said, you want to live a good life here? Something very simple. And by the way, if you don't do it this way, I really hate when you do it the other way. In fact, it's among the things that I hate the most. It's not in the list of God's abominations, although you can put it in there as the lying lips and the false witness. It all fits in there. But God says, this thing will I not suffer. Turn back to James again. If you read James very carefully, it's not just the verses that says that the tongue is set on fire, hell, and so forth. The whole book of James is how to order our speech. The whole thing. And if we keep our speech in order, the rest of our lives fall into order. James chapter 1 and verse 6. No. Twenty-six. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is high and mighty. Right? It's holier than thou, right? No. This man's religion is vain. If any man among you seem to be religious, okay, this is not the one you say, well, they've got some problems. This is not even the one you say, that person has a holier-than-thou attitude. Okay, this is one that you look at and you say, man, there's a good Christian. Okay? He seems to you to be religious. But, oh, I wish they'd be more careful with their speech. God told James that that person's religion is vain. It's empty. Doesn't matter how good of a Christian you can make yourself look if you don't get your tongue in order. And the very basic of getting your tongue in order is what you say about those around you. Even if it's just to yourself or just to your spouse, the unconstrained, privily, private conversation. If any man among you seem to be religious, he's got it all figured out, she's doing it right, and they're just such a blessing to be around, and if they say something about somebody else, oh, I should listen to them. And I come to find out that they're saying something about somebody all the time. Oh, but they're pretty smart, got to listen to them. But come to, if you stop and think about it, they talk more about everybody else's problems than they do about what Jesus did for them. And that's where the truth comes out. Deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. It's vain because we're so busy tearing others down that we forgot to look up. We're so busy tearing down what Christ is trying to build. Have you thought about it that way? Jesus told Peter on this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church. Peter later told the Gentile Christians. So you could say that's directly to us. That ye are lively stones built up to a holy house. When we're tearing down, we're taking apart something Christ is trying to build up. Have you thought about that? That's why the more we allow speaking against others in our lives, out of our mouths, in our hearts, the more vain, the more empty our walk with Christ is. Because we're more concerned with, oh, he put a stone right there. No, Jesus, that one doesn't go there. Don't you know that? Didn't you see what they did? Of course he saw. He saw it before the foundation of the world. And he knew that you were going to try to take that stone back out of the wall. There's a quote that goes around frequently, and I only just discovered today that it came from Hell's Angels, which just makes the quote all the more pertinent. You've probably heard it. When we do right, no one remembers. When we do wrong, no one forgets. It's a very powerful thought. And when you think of came from a biker gang that is known for criminal activity, it's like, oh, okay. But when think about it. See, again, we say, okay, oh man, those are such bad guys. But it's true all the way down to a little kid. Oh, an innocent child. When we do right, no one remembers. When we do wrong, no one forgets. Have you ever asked your dad or your mom, as you're looking at your kids, I never did that growing up. And they go, that's funny. Because we don't, that's not what we remember. We remember all the good stuff. Oh, sure, we remember, well, I was bad here. I did this. You know, I was kind of a bad kid that way, but oh, I never did that. Oh, right. Somebody else remembers, even if we make this nice picture of ourselves. I'm running out of time, but Paul was very specific through the gospel, through the epistle, to watch out for gossip in the church. And we need to understand that specificness is because of the reality of its danger. A few small words. One cigarette butt that was out burns down a forest. A couple words that nobody meant anything by can set on fire the course of nature just as well. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And this passage is talking about widows. And in the overall passage, it's talking about giving them something to do, giving young widows something to do so that this does not happen. Okay? In verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. It's because of this verse that so often the sin of gossip gets kind of rolled on to certain ladies. And you know, probably some ladies have a bent towards it, maybe, more than others, more than other people. You know, it's like this American joke about there's one in every neighborhood, right? There's variations on that, but this the basic idea. But you know, it's guys do it too. Paul was saying, watch for this in this context when you look at now. Paul was not rolling it onto the ladies per se, because, like we said to begin with, this is spoken of directly in the scripture over 50 times. So don't take one verse and say, oh, it's a lady's sin. Okay? What he's saying here in the bigger picture is, be careful of a woman in this instance, a young lady who lost her husband, she doesn't have any kids yet, she doesn't have anything to do, so be careful that in her all of this spare free time, she doesn't do what all of us are naturally prone to do, of go here and blah, 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 and go there and blah, 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 and go there. Because all of us are prone to do that. And in that life situation, it's like putting fertilizer on that sin. Okay? But the fact is, all of us, any of us, when we've got too much time on our hands, we're prone to do that. Especially now. We do, oh, hey, did you hear about this? Or if your phone is as stupid as my smartphone, in the middle of the day, it'll go, bleep, bleep, bleep. In case you didn't know, this thing is happening. And this is our take on it. You know, in case you weren't thinking about any unconfirmed information about anybody, we'll throw some at you. Oh, you gotta love technology. We all are prone. Therefore, we need to all be aware of our idle time, and especially our idle words. It starts with idle, but tattlers also, going and telling someone else what someone else said, did, looked, thought, whatever, and busybodies, trying to make everything work to your perspective. And having God sit on His throne and say, who do you think you are? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, remember, this is 2 Corinthians, okay? So, Paul wrote to the church. They got a lot of things figured out. Paul wrote them again and said, this is great. Your correction in your life, it was exciting. It's wonderful to see. Your testimony is expounding. But in chapter 12, as he finishes this letter, and he's saying all through the letter, he wants to come. He wants to come see them. See how they've got things straightened out. Chapter 12 and verse 20. He says, for I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you as ye would not. It means I'll have to correct you again, lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. You notice, you read through 1 Corinthians and you understand what kind of sin was going on in that church. And you think, whoa, man, they weren't a very Christian church. Not a very God-loving place. And that's why Paul wrote that letter to straighten them out. He writes 2 Corinthians saying, this is great. You guys have done well. You're understanding salvation. This is wonderful. But he says, the thing that I fear the most in coming is that I'll have to reprimand your speech about each other. These are all speech-related things. Debates, envies, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, which is gossip. Swellings, which is gossip. Tumults, which is what happens when gossip starts to run. Paul said, watch out. You might have fixed these big sins. Great. But don't forget the little things, because they're a big problem. Titus chapter 3. He also tells Titus to watch out for these things, but in this passage he also talks about correction of it. And we'll end here. Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 8. Put them in mind. Okay, so Timothy and Titus, you all know this, but I'll just repeat it to put it in perspective. Timothy and Titus, as Paul would go about planting churches, he went around with his team, and he would leave certain men behind to build that church, to establish it as he went on to plant the next church. And so Timothy and Titus were two of the guys that would get left to be interim pastors at these churches. So we saw one of the things he pointed out to Timothy to teach. He says, watch for people that have too much time on their hands. They're going to become gossips. Watch out. Teach against that. He tells Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So put them in mind to be busy, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You say, well, I don't understand how gossip affects my life. Well, it affects every area of our life. It's ingrained in us. It's part of our human nature to, as Paul told the Corinthians in another place, we need to be careful that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That's a lot of gossip is based in that. We're actually here, but we think we're here, and we think somebody else that we're talking about is down here, when maybe they're here. You know, because God's the one that knows. Paul told Titus to put this in our minds. To speak evil of no man. I'm going to squish some of these ideas together. To speak evil of no man. No gossip. Because we ourselves have the same propensity, or do the same thing, or have done the same thing. And the grace and shed blood and righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is exactly the same for them as it is for you. It has the same power in their life that it does in yours. And as God is the judge, you don't know, but that power may be
more effective right now in theirs than it is in yours. I can't remember how the saying goes, but my grandma used to say something along the lines of, the fact that you see a problem in somebody else's life might be God working it out of them. Think about that. The fact that you can see a problem in somebody else's life might be the fact that God's working it out of them. It's on the way out already. It's a pretty powerful thought. Another thing she would say is, sin that you see in someone else is probably because you know it's in here. Sin that you see and bothers you in someone else is probably because it's in here. Just those two words of wisdom put in perspective this entire topic. Remember, you wanna fix this problem. Maybe you've got a little problem with it. That's wonderful. Maybe you know you've got a huge problem with it. It's wonderful that you know. Because that's the start of getting it fixed. Maybe you really don't know anything. The basis of getting rid of it is what Paul told Titus. Remember, put it in your mind. The grace and shed blood and love and righteousness and power of Jesus Christ is exactly the same and possibly more effective in their life than it is in yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for its power and its truth, and that it does cut to the very quick of our hearts, and you examine our innermost being. Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow to be perfect and mature and be holy as you are holy, as we understand that that is your desire for us. Help us to understand how basic of a thing this is and how much it gets in our way of growing in other areas that you show us along the way that we need work on. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name.